I want us to talk today about members of the Palm Beach Lakes Church are dying. That's remarkable, isn't it? You may not have a real appreciation of that, but let me say it this way. We'll get back to the text in just a minute. But there are some obvious truths about the kind of death that we're talking about. That's slide 3. There are two kinds of death. There's physical death and there's spiritual death. We always, almost every year, have a lot of physical death, and we've had more than usual already this year. We've got a lot of older members of this church, and over the next 2 or 3 years, there may be a lot of funerals of those who are older, but I'm not talking about physically dying. I'm talking about that other kind of death. When the Lord says in Genesis chapter 2 to Adam and Eve, the very day you eat of that fruit, you're going to die. Well, physically, they didn't die. But Jesus says, the day that you eat of that fruit, you're going to die. How did they die? They were separated from... You know what death is? Death is when your soul is separated from your body. Your body's dead. And on that very day, because of sin, they were separated from God. And so the Bible talks about spiritual death in verses like, you were dead in your trespasses and sin. And in 1 Timothy chapter 5 about younger widows, they are dead while they are living. That's not zombies. We're talking about the fact that there are a lot of people walking on this earth who are spiritually dead. And let's go back to the text and see if we cannot understand the importance of this as we've got that in our minds. Therefore, Paul says, if he's the writer of Hebrews, but he doesn't take credit for himself, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day in the wilderness. You know who says that? That's David in the book of Psalms writing about something that had happened more than 500 years prior to that time. It's talking about when the Jews were in the wilderness. You remember, millions of them left Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, came out into that wilderness, and the story of them in the wilderness is the story of people who were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and now they're out there in the wilderness, and they're falling away from God. And David, 500 years later, says, hey, look what happened back over there. But it's not David that says it. It's the Holy Spirit that says it. You've got to understand the importance of it. We need to understand that the Old Testament has its place. And here's a classic illustration of it. Looks historically at what happened 500 years, and the Holy Spirit says, hey, look what happens. Now, wait a minute. You know where Hebrews fits chronologically? 1,000 years later, from the time of David, 1,500 years after it happened there in the wilderness. The Holy Spirit says through the writer of the Hebrew letters, you'd better look back at that place and understand the lessons there, that your fathers in that wilderness, verse 9, tried me, they tested me, they saw my works. I was angry with them, with that generation. I said, they'd always go astray in their hearts. They have not known my ways of truth. So I swore in my wrath, 1,500 years before the Hebrew writer talks about this, 500 years before David ever says, the Lord says, they shall not enter into my rest. Then he says, watch it. Brethren, beware lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. That's the Holy Spirit speaking today, is it not? When I speak the very words of the Spirit, is that not the Holy Spirit? Wait a minute. We'll look at that timeline. 1,500 years before Christ came. 500 years later, David says, look what happened 1,500 years ago. David says, look what happened 500 years ago. You come to the book of Hebrews and they say, look what happened 1,500 years ago. And we stand here today saying, look what happened 3,500 years ago. There's a lesson to be learned. And here's the lesson. Brethren, beware, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you, look at the word any, subject to every one of us, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For you see, the Bible does show that Christians can sin. And we've got to have an appreciation of the fact that Christians can sin and fall away. And the reality is, not only can they sin and fall away, it is that kind of thing that's happening. Look at those verses that say you can't follow. Did we not just look at the text? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul looks back, and we know this time for sure that it's Paul, and he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 about that very same incident, left the land of Egypt. All these things happen as an example, and they're written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world have come. This must be a really important thing that happened when they left the land of Egypt. Absolutely. 500 years later, David says it. 1,500 years later, Paul talks about it. And 3,500 years later, Dan's talking about it today. You and I need to understand. There's an example there, and there's something that we've got to learn. And these things are written. And the great part of that verse is, every temptation that you have is something that other people have had, and you know, but he says, God will provide for you a way of escape. You think Christians cannot fall away? Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. So it can happen. This idea of once saved and you're always saved and nothing you could ever do that would separate you from the love of God is foreign to the Scriptures. And look at James 5:19. If anyone wanders from the truth, who's he talking to? James 5:19 to brethren, talking to Christians, and says to Christians, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know who turns a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. And so here's the point we're trying to make. Not only can we fall away, but some have fallen away. Is there anything that hurts more than to think about folks that one time had committed their life to Jesus and they're no longer walking with Jesus? It's happened. And some of them, as far as we know, have died in their sins. We need to be aware of the fact that not only has it happened, it is happening. It's always happened. That's why when you read the New Testament, it's almost in every book. Why? Because it's an ongoing problem. I'm not talking about something that is unique, it's something that's happening today. It's always been this situation. And so in almost every New Testament book, they're just warning after warning, telling individuals in that day, you need to be careful about your faithfulness and the way that you serve the Lord. Now, could I remind you that God has done all that He can to keep you from falling away. Think of the provisions God has made. Whenever He sent us Jesus, and the motivation of our faithfulness is the fact He died for us and we need to live for Him. Think about the church. Think about the joy of having brothers and sisters in Christ who will encourage us, exhort one another daily while it's called today. That's in that Hebrew verse over there. Isn't that remarkable? Exhort one another daily. Why? Because there's a danger we might be falling away. And so he says, God has made this provision. Aren't you glad? Aren't you thankful that there are shepherds in the Lord's church who feed this flock and who do everything they can to try to keep us faithful and to help us make us through the trials of our lives? Part of God's eternal plan. God put them on this earth. Gave them that responsibility. For they watch for your souls. Thank God for elders, and especially for this eldership, and the way that they watch for our souls. It's a part of God's taking care of us and making provision. And then this almighty, powerful Word of God. quoting the Bible, studying the Bible. Perhaps sermons just like this kind of sermon is designed to let you understand that in this part of our service, God is talking. Other parts, we've been singing, we've been praying, we've been eating at the Lord's Supper, and we've been giving. But now all of a sudden we come to that part of our service where God is talking and God's trying to talk to us. That's what this is all about. If any Dan speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. So we've got to understand that what we're doing is trying to stand here and trying to help each one of us recognize, and it's a part of God's plan. Is it possible that you and the providence of God have been brought to this very service? You're a member of the church, but you've been struggling. You've been struggling in your life. Is it possible that God has brought you to this very service to hear this very sermon that's designed to encourage us to serve God faithfully and to see all of these things? Because you see, the church tries to do everything that we can. What happens when you fall away? You may want to open your Bible up to 2 Peter chapter 2. The verses will be on the screen, but you need to know these verses are in the Bible. Here's Peter. Remember Peter's life? Peter says, though all men forsake you, I'll not forsake you. And just hours later, he was cursing and swearing. And that's why it says, if any of you be overtaken in a fault. If any of you be overtaken in a fault. If it can happen to Peter, one of the apostles of Jesus, it can happen to every one of us. And so Peter writes to those saints, members of the church, and talks about those individuals who through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ have escaped the pollution that is in the world. What a joy it is to have escaped the pollution of the world and be Christians. And that God doesn't hold our past against us. He's forgiven it and He's forgotten it. We've escaped that pollution. But you know what can happen? A key word in this verse, and we mentioned this last week, I think, in another sermon, that says, if they are again entangled therein. Here's that individual who's wrapped up in sin, sin's ruling his life, and he hears the truth, and he escapes the pollution of the world. There's a tremendous danger of him going back and again getting just as entangled as he was. What about them? If they are again entangled in these things and overcome, the latter end is worse than the beginning. It would have been better for those individuals, not to have known the way of righteousness than having to known it to turn away from the holy commandments. It's happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow that is washed to wallowing in the mire. What's the results? What is the results of falling away? You and I need to have an appreciation of how the Bible says we're worse off than we were. How lost were you? I'd kept going down that path in my life, someone is ready to say, I would have busted the gates of hell wide open. What'd be worse than that? There's a greater judgment and greater punishment. We don't have time to look at a statement in Matthew chapter 12, I think it's verse 47, 48, that says there's greater punishment for that individual who knows the truth and falls away. But here's the danger. The danger is that you can fall away and become so hardened to the truth, you never be brought back. Why? Well, the very story that brought you, the story of Christ dying for you and the God loving you and the burdens of sin, and you know every bit of that, and then you fall away, and the very thing that changed your life is the thing you have rejected, and you can become so hardened that the Bible says, because you are crucifying the Son of God afresh, it's impossible to renew you to repentance. Who we're talking about? talking about every one of us in this auditorium today. I'm talking about myself. I'm talking about every one of you. It's possible for those of us who have escaped the pollution of the world to again be entangled therein and to do exactly what Peter said. Lord, I'll never forsake you. And that's why 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says it happened, for example, they're written for our admonition. And it, that's verse 11, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Is it possible you could fall away? And let's be real honest. You've been a Christian for 30 years. Is it possible you could fall away? Well, no. Not really. So much a part of my life, it can never happen to me. And yet Peter said those very words, did he not? And he'd seen all the miracles that Jesus had done, and Peter denied him. And on a practical level, have you ever known, and how many times have you known, people who were faithful workers in the kingdom of God who've fallen away? You ever known of preachers to fall away? Absolutely. Denied the faith, left the church. Their lives are wrapped up in sin. Ever known of deacons to fall away? Oh, yes. Known of deacons to fall away. Ever known of Bible class teachers? Oh, yes. Fallen away. Bible class teachers in this very church. Fallen away. Why? Because of, for multitudes of reasons, maybe why they're leaving. But the reality is, if it can happen to those, have you ever known elders who fell away? In my life, thankfully not here at this congregation, but in other congregations, I have been in congregations where an elder fell away and they had to withdraw from him. An elder in the church. Folks, that's the power of sin. And that's why this whole lesson is designed to cause every one of us to come to a realization of the fact that we've got to remain faithful unto God. Why do people fall away? Multitudes of reasons, and probably my head in this lesson was trying to narrow them down to some of the things that might help us. Why does people die spiritually? May I suggest to you that they die because of indigestion. You stop and think about it. Somebody's in the hospital and they're real sick. Well, what's wrong? They just ate some poison. Food poisoning. You ever experienced that? Ever eaten something, not necessarily in a restaurant, but something that your husband's cooked? See, I said that right, man. Ladies, did I not? Something that your husband's cooked, and man, as quick as it hit you, it came back up. Wait a minute. We're not talking about physical. Is it possible that there is food that we need, and if we start eating the wrong food, put that word food in quotation marks, put that word food in quotation marks and look at Peter as he writes. Remember, Peter's the one that says the latter end is worse than the first. It'd been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it. And so Peter says, therefore, laying aside malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Here's somebody that's gotten sin out of their life. And they've been feeding on all of this junk food that's in the world, malice and envy and hypocrisy and all of those things. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That's been their diet. And then he says, you want to grow? You want to be faithful? You want to serve God? Young people, I talked to you about giving your lives to the Lord for 60 or 70 years when you give your life to the Lord as a young person. You want to be faithful 60 years from now? like a baby desires food, desire the Word. Did you hear that? You see the application? Newborn baby in your house, you may have the memories of it. Some of you may be experiencing it right now. Newborn baby in your house, and you know, you've just put them to bed, and you're exhausted because you had to deal with that little brat all day long. And now, you know, you've got the diapers changed, you've finally got them asleep, everything is perfect, and you lie down, and it's 10:30, and the baby wakes up saying, "Good morning, it's time for breakfast." And 2 hours later, he wakes up again. And 2 hours later, he breaks up again. Why? Because he's starving for that milk. And that's exactly where many of you, I hope where all of you were when you became a Christian. I want to learn the Bible. And oh, the joy of coming to the body of Jesus and finding the church of Jesus and saying, let me have that. And Peter says, you want to grow? Then you hunger for the Word like a baby hungers for milk. But what if I quit feeding myself? What if I arrive at the place that where I'm content just to know sort of what I knew a year after I became a child of God? Is that possible? Is it possible that you obeyed the gospel and you haven't grown those first 2 or 3 years? You really, really grew in the Bible and you really, there were really things about the Bible, and now you've arrived at the place and you're rather content with where you are. In Hebrews chapter 5, the writer there talks about there's a time whenever every Christian ought to be able to teach another. By this time you ought to be teachers, but he says, you have need that somebody teach you again the first principles of the doctrine of Christ. You even forgot what you knew right after you were baptized. And then he says, and you have need that somebody come back and teach you those first principles because you have not been feeding on the meat of the Word. Why do people fall away? Because they quit studying the Bible. This very lesson, and I'll point it out in just a minute. You can read the Bible all of your life. And in preparing this very lesson, I saw something that in that verse from Luke chapter 8 I'd never seen before. Why? It's just treasures that are there. And you read it and you think you've got it. And no, it's far, far, far different from that. And if you're feeding yourself, I'm not necessarily talking about pornography and all of the vile that there is in the world. I'm just talking about you're not eating what's good for you. And how what you try to get people to do when they're sick and everything, and they're eating junk food, you need to change your diet. And the God of heaven is trying to say to those individuals, if this is where you are, the God of heaven says, change what you're eating. What a great opportunity there is in this church to grow into these great Bible classes that we have here, and all of the things that's available for us, and literature that we have, and the internet that we have, and you know, all of the things, good stuff that is there on the internet, and the abundance of food is out there. And what are we doing? Spending half our life reading social media and never ever take time to look at the spiritual food that's available for us. You're going to starve yourself to death. And if a baby only drinks milk, that baby's going to have major problems later in its life. And that may be some of you. Are you getting deeper into the Word? If not, you may be one of those who someday will fall away because you've been eating the wrong food. But not only do we need to understand that, some people die spiritually because of some injustice they see. Somebody at church upsets them. They didn't speak to me. Or maybe they were wronged. We're human. Maybe some preacher said something. And I know he's just saying that just for me, and you know, I'm never going to go back. People leave the church, do they not? Because of perceived injustice. And how dangerous that is when there is perceived injustice and people say, I'm leaving the church. I'm so upset with what's happening down at church. I'm just going to leave the church. I'm going to quit church. Folks, with all the compassion that I know, I want you to know you are not leaving the church. You are, but you're leaving God. You leave the church and God's no longer worshiped in your life. You leave the church and God is never with you sitting around this table. God is never with you in joint prayers when we pray together about things that might happen and blessings that might come. And I understand you may be that individual. There's some perceived injustice, and it might be a justified injustice. But don't think, I'll just leave the church. When you walk away from the church of God, you walk away from God. And it may be. There'll be somebody in the next years of your life, and they hurt you, and you think, I just can't stand it. I just can't stand to be there. You cannot walk away from God. You can't walk away from this food. You can't walk away from this body where people try to encourage you to live right and do right. You cannot walk away from elders who are trying to help you and lead you in the paths of righteousness. They watch for your souls. You're walking away from. So almost every one of the helps that God has given you, so you won't fall away and something happens. I'm just sick. I'm just never going to go back to church. It's not that you're leaving the church. You're leaving God and the avenue that He has to help you grow. And oh, the importance of realizing that. Why do people leave the church? How about invasions? Is that a political word? What about those things that invade the spiritual part of our lives? In Luke chapter 8, there's that parable of the sower and that seed that's sown out there on thorny ground. And He says, you know that thorny ground? It's the cares and riches and the pleasures of this world. What are cares? Well, what happens is sometimes it's those cares that are good things that choke the word out. I wrote an article recently about why is the church not growing like it once did, and called a preacher friend of mine, and I said, you remember back in the 50s and 60s how the church was growing and it's not growing like it is? I said, what happened? And his answer astounded me. Little League Baseball. You got to think that one through. But how committed is your afternoons? How committed is your life? What do you do? What are you going to do tomorrow afternoon? What about Tuesday afternoon? What about Wednesday? What about Thursday? What about Friday? You got your calendar and you look at your calendar. I just don't know how I'm going to be able to work this in. You know? And it is so full that if you got sick, you think, I don't even have time to go see the doctor. My life is just so... Listen, when we get so full that we don't have time to go and see that doctor... When these things have invaded our lives. And riches. Charge them that are rich in this world that they understand that very riches cause them to fall into temptation and a snare. You know why the church is growing abundantly in third world countries and why there are thousands and thousands of churches of Christ all over India. They don't have Little League Baseball. You understand what I'm saying? They don't have television. A missionary from India recently said, the work is slowing down in India because everybody there's got a cell phone. Things can choke the Word of God out of our lives. I said, Luke 8, can I show you something in this verse I'd never seen? I've read this verse, and it is true that cares and riches and pleasures of this world will choke the Word of God out, but this verse says far more than that. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard it, and go out, and they are choked. Wow. How can that sit there and dumb Dan not been able to see it? You probably saw it the first time you read it. But they're choked. Imagine lying in a hospital bed. And all of a sudden there's some phlegm that gets in your throat and you're lying there and you're suffocating just simply because your lungs cannot get the air that it needs because of all of that phlegm and stuff that there is. And you're there in the hospital bed and you push the emergency button and you sit there and you're choked to death by the very phlegm that is in your body. Folks, spiritually that can happen to any one of us. Lying here, and all of a sudden that which we've brought into our lives, not just phlegm in the body, but cares that we bring into our life, and it's not that the Word of God is choked out, we are choked to death. Don't fall away because your church calendar is so full. You don't have time for God. Why do people fall away? Because of inflation. David, I'm trying to learn how to make words rhyme like you do. I had ignorance, but it didn't have an N in it. I was going to say ignorance, but I think, you know, it's I-G instead of I-N-G. But you see, inflation, what we're talking about. You can grow. Knowledge puffs up. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1 says. That you can arrive at the point you think you're smarter than God. It can happen. I've seen it happen. I've seen people dying. I know enough about the Bible. I make it on my own. I don't need God to teach me anymore. I understand what life is all about, and I'm in charge of my life. And all of a sudden, I'm smarter than God. God may have made these provisions so that I could grow. Frankly, I do not need it. And furthermore, I may not even agree with God about that. The next point is very similar. Let's go ahead and put it up, and that is insubordination. I'm smarter than God, and my priorities change. You know the danger of thinking that I know more about life than the God of heaven knows about life? How many verses are there in the Bible that says, beware? How many verses in the Bible there are that say, be not deceived? In this day and age, take your Bible. Use that search engine that you have that's in some Bible program that you've got and look up every time the word beware and things of that nature. Find every one of those verses and read them and think about them. You can die. And as I thought about this sermon, I thought of those who have fallen away, and I think about some of those who are falling away, and they're not even aware of it. They're not where they used to be. I don't need God in my life I've got enough. I can make it. And our priorities change, and brethren, we cannot allow that to happen. Why do people fall away? Because sometimes as a babe in Christ, their expectations are too high for the level of spirituality they've got to arrive at. And when I'm still struggling with sin after I've been a Christian 5 years or 10 years, and I'm still struggling with some of those things I struggled with before I became a child of God, it's just too hard. I'm going to quit. I just can't make it. You've known people like that. And it may be that you're sitting here this very day thinking, I don't even like myself spiritually. I look at the mirror, I don't like what I see. And I'll never amount to anything. quit looking at yourself through your own eyes and look at yourself through the eyes of God. Young people especially, you need to see the potential that God sees that you have in your life. But babes in Christ, you need to look at yourself and through the eyes of God. And so, you know, here's a child that's learning how to walk. Here's little Levi over here. I guess he's walking quite a bit now. But think of how many times Nate and Cindy, how many times he fell down. I just quit. I can't even learn how to crawl. I'm not going to make it in life. And yet, and Levi, let me finish this sermon. Think about it. He keeps trying. His expectation might be, if I can't run a 4-minute mile, I'm not even going to start the race. No, that's not what we're talking about. It's the expectations that you have maybe too high, and the rate at which you're growing to that level, and it's even how the level that you will arrive at. God doesn't expect you to know what some other Christian knows. God doesn't expect you to know and be as compassionate as some other Christian. I just wish I could be loving and compassionate like them. I wish I could be like this one. I wish I could be like this one. And thank God that you're seeing those examples and that there is motivation. But sometimes we look at those examples and we throw up our hands and say, I'm just never going to make it. I'm just sort of helpless. And I got to look at myself and hate myself so much, I'm just going to give up on church. Folks, don't die. Don't die. And you and I need to understand, finally, that people die because of inactivity. If there was a time in which you were more active in the church, and you're not as active as you used to be, why? Why? Whatever was the reason that you were active in the church and vibrant in the service in the church and you're not there anymore, what's the reason? Well, somebody down at church, I don't like them. That's foolishness. What's the reason? Well, I was never amount to much in the Lord. That's not a reason. It's an excuse to keep you from trying to live right. I don't attend church like I used to. Why? Is it because the sermons are not filled with the Word of God? Is it because when you arrive here, you're not being fed by God? If such is the case, then the elders need to get rid of the preachers. But if such is not the case, then why would I not want to be here to sit at the feet, not just of the preachers, but of all of these men who are diligently studying and preparing lessons to change our lives and to help us to be better? How much better of a Christian would you be if you decided to start coming to Sunday school class? How much better would you be? How much better would you be if you decide, I'm going to come on Sunday night? In my judgment, sometimes those Sunday night sermons are far more full of meat than Sunday morning sermons, because the audience that's going to be there really longs. And does not the Bible say to follow your elders? Obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your souls. And if our godly men are appointed by God to be elders, and if because of the direction of the Holy Spirit, they have been made elders in the church by the Spirit of God, why would you not listen to those elders who say, we want you to grow? And a way of growing is coming to Bible class, and that's what this is all about. We don't just have Sunday night services because there are some individuals who on Sunday night need to partake of the Lord. That's not what Sunday night is all about. It's a time when saints can come together and praise God and be uplifted and built up together. And the same thing about our Wednesday night Bible classes. What's that all about? It's God's pattern to help me grow so that I don't fall away. Brethren, take heed, lest there be in any of you preachers, elders, deacons, Bible class teachers, members who sit in the pew. Take heed, lest there be in you a heart that leads you away from the Word of God and away from God Himself. God help us. God help us to understand the reality of this. And fortunately, there are sermons that are not all full of negative thoughts like this one is, but these are thoughts that God has given us to sober us up about being serious about this thing called church and eternity and heaven. God help us. And now we come to that part of our service where we'll be singing an invitation song for people who have sin in their life and need to deal with it. If you've never become a part of the body of Jesus, you need to be a part of the body of Jesus. You need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You need to repent of your sins. You know John 3:16. You know those verses like Luke 13:3 or Acts 17 verse 30. God commands all men everywhere to repent. You need with your lips to confess that you believe that Jesus is the Lord, that He's the Son of God. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You ever done that? Why would you not this day come when we sing this song and let everybody here know that you believe Jesus is the Son of God, and then to be baptized? You are a child of God by faith, Galatians 3:26 says, because verse 27 says, for you have been baptized. If you are a child of God by faith, then you are one who has been baptized into Christ. Those are the words of God. And the most amazing thing happens. He forgets about your past, never to mention it again. You're pure and as sinless as a newborn baby. That's marvelous, isn't it? And you become part of the family of God, the kingdom of heaven, the church of Jesus. And then He says to us, and that's what this lens has primarily been designed for, says to us who are members, don't you dare let up. You be full of faith until you die. And I will give you a crown of eternal life. Don't you want that? If we can help you deal with sin in your life, won't you let us know how by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing.